Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I am Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show. Plenty to get into tonight. The tush push is here to stay. Rivalry weekend in Major League Baseball, a big success. Why is the music so loud? I'm like, I can't hear myself. What
it's
are you
the same
doing?
Same volume it always is.
I don't know about that. You sure?
Yep.
I feel like I'm shouting over myself. Good morning, everybody. How are you doing, Carlos? Carlos Ortiz, ladies.
I'm good. Scarfing down a chicken parmesan sandwich.
Oh yeah, homemade or from somewhere?
Homemade, of course. I'm no hack.
All right, good for you. Carlos Ortiz here. Again, I'm Bart Winkler. Marco Belletti on the updates. Knicks and Pacers going on right now. This is tense. I mean, you can feel it. The difference between Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals and Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals, and I'm not saying this as like a Pacers hater. I don't think I am. But it just is different. Maybe it's TNT, ESPN. I don't know. Something's different. Maybe it's New York City. But it feels like the main event of the card. It feels like a big-time fight where Oklahoma City and Minnesota did not feel that way. This feels like, I don't want to say the finals. The finals will feel like the finals, but this matchup is more interesting based on the history and the way these teams play than the Western Conference Finals matchup. Nothing against the teams, just talking about the matchup. And then also the matchup that you're going to have in the finals, because whatever team wins the East is going to play whoever wins the West, and I don't think the matchup will be as juicy or good or ripe with storylines. You know, people like wonder why wrestling goes through all the drama and the backstage and the talking segments, but it's to build the storylines. Sometimes two wrestlers that have no affiliation with each other, they can get in the ring, they can go, they can tell a story through the match. That's great. But a lot of times, lesser matches feel bigger because of the storyline and the implication behind the match. It's just the way it is. So I'm not saying that Knicks Pacers is going to be better basketball than Timberwolves Thunder. It has been up to this point through seven quarters, but it's going to feel bigger. It's going to have a bigger fight feel. And I think we're seeing that. So once this game goes final, we'll get into everything regarding Game 1, talk a little bit more about Game 1 of the Western Conference Final. That does feature the league MVP, which is going to make things very expensive for Oklahoma City, which I'm sure they're okay with and planned for. Also an interesting breakdown of who voted for what, which guys got on the ballot, and how we have not seen an American-born player now win the MVP since 2018? SGA, Jokic, Embiid, Jokic, Giannis? Giannis? It's been a while since we've seen 2018. Now, Embiid was on Team USA, so yeah, I don't know what the hell's going on there, but it's been a while. International flavor is certainly taking over the National Basketball Association. I come to you tonight in somewhat of a sour mood. I don't know if that's par for the course. There's a lot clearly that bothers me. I mean, if you listen for a little bit, there's a lot of things that do get under my skin. One gets under my skin, simple sports thing. I just don't like the narrative of it. The other is got me shaken to my core. I will bring it up to start. I saw some of these videos that there's this new AI, VO3. Google dropped it. It looks like real life. It looks like it, AI. We've seen AI, and you're like, oh boy, that's scary. You know, deep fakes. This is not that. This is real life. I'm mortified. Beyond mortified. I'm mortified about what it means for anybody in any entertainment industry. I'm mortified about what it means for the consumer. I'm mortified about what it means between blurring the lines between real life and fiction. Something I tweeted. I said the end of the world will be accidental and AI video will be misconstrued and lead to war. I think that's where we're headed. Sorry to be so grim, but I want to be the town crier on this one. And as we misinterpret a world leader not saying something, but it looked like him, I want to at least go to bed for the last time saying I told you so. I didn't mean for it to be this dark, but I am afraid. I am very afraid of AI. You know that. I've talked about it. This went up a whole nother level this week. On a lesser level of angst, but still pretty close. These Philadelphia Eagles, man. These Philadelphia Eagles and this tush push. And something that has driven me crazy, is how this has become about the Green Bay Packers for being the ones to put forth the language that the tush push needs to be banned. But as we're learning, these teams that bring a rule forward aren't necessarily bringing a rule forward because it's something they want to see changed. It's the NFL telling a team, put this rule forward. It's something we'd like to see voted on. So the Detroit Lions, they were asked, Rod Wood, team president, blurted this out. They were asked, hey, why don't you go ahead and propose this new playoff seeding situation where you don't have to be a division winner to have a home game. If you're a division winner and you have a worse record than the wild card team you're facing, you're going to play at the home of the wild card team. Detroit said, sure, I guess. They put it forward. That never got voted on. It got pulled back today, so we're not getting any results on that. And then the other one, the big one, the tush push, was proposed by the Packers, and team president Mark Murphy went out there and said, I don't like the rule. And I don't know to this day if he didn't like the rule, if he was just doing it on behalf of football. Per pro football talk, just one pro, the league asked the Packers to do it. Most in Green Bay don't care about the play either way, but the Packers took one for the team. And the language between the last owners' meeting and this one where it got voted on was changed, as we brought up yesterday. The tush push is allowed to exist. Quarterback gets pushed from his tush. That's allowed to exist because back in 2005, the NFL stripped away a rule where you couldn't push a ball carrier. If he had the ball, you couldn't push him forward to gain more yards. You couldn't do that. The officiating behind it and the officials thought, you know, there's some plays that are so gray area. This is really hard for us. Can we not have this be a rule? And so it was changed. Now, I don't know why that got credence over holding or pass interference or all these other judgment calls, but it did. About 10 years later in Philadelphia is where it started, Doug Peterson's team. They started to tinker with it and say, well, if you can do it on any part of the field, instead of just a quarterback sneak, why don't we push the guy and gain yards that way? I don't think you should be able to push guys in general. I don't think the tush push is necessarily more dangerous, and so that's where the NFL first tried to come in and say, hey, it's a dangerous play, because whenever they try to justify something, they half-ass it by saying, safety! You can't wear more than one different type of helmet in a season. Why? I don't know. Safety? Overtimes need to be 10 minutes in the regular season. Why? Safety? Let's ban the tush push. Why? Safety? Doesn't make any sense. The tush push, I suppose, is fine. There's other parts of it that also need to be looked at. Like the Eagles specifically line up offsides every time they do it. They never get called for it. Other teams do. I constantly bring up the big argument that always comes back in my face. If you don't like it, stop it. The Commanders tried to stop it, and then they were told, if you keep trying to stop it, we're going to give the Eagles a free touchdown. Because the way to stop the tush push is, it's almost impossible. It's almost impossible for the defense to stop the tush push. The best way to stop the tush push is for the offense to fail at it. That we've seen that. Guys fumble around. They kind of stutter step. We've seen that. The way to actually stop the tush push is to meet the quarterback or the ball carrier at the point of contact, but you got to time that. And Frankie Louvu of the Commanders was jumping over the Eagles' offensive line to try to time it. And then it kept being offsides, which the Eagles were also hard counting. So they tried to stop it, and they couldn't. And then they were going to get a free touchdown. So that's already been played. Yeah, we've already had teams try to stop it, and then the offense is getting the benefit of the doubt here. We had a great call last night who brought up a scenario, because it's not just the tush push. That actually, we need 1 yard. Let's just push everybody forward. You know, it looks like a scrum. It's a rugby play. Odds are you're getting that yard anyway. I don't like if a ball carrier gets stopped. Let's say we've seen some examples of this. There is an example that I saw where the Broncos were playing the Falcons. And the Broncos running back, may have been Javonte Williams, got stopped at the 5 yard line. He got stopped at the 5 yard line. And there were two Falcons there, and they were like holding him upright. And typically that's when the play would be blown dead. It's not a tackle, but nobody's moving anywhere. That's where the play would be blown dead. If the defense were to push the runner backwards 5 yards, 10 yards, however, the whistle would blow and they'd say, forward progress, we're going to bring the ball back to where the initial contact happened at the 5 yard line. So the defense doesn't have anything to gain by pushing forward, or in this case, backward. If you're the offense, they're pushing forward, offense going backward. But if the offense wants to come in, the offense can come in and push their running back forward and push him into the end zone. You've seen runners get stopped and then the offensive line comes and they push the guys down 10 yards. That should not be a football play. That is what should be banned. That was the rule that was initially banned. That was the rule that was stripped away. The Eagles then found a loophole off of that. So if we want to ban the tush push, we need to ban pushing people in general. But the conversation now has delved into Packers couldn't stop Eagles. Wah, wah. Eagles get their way. And boy, were they humble about it. Super Bowl winning champions. Boy, were they humble. Putting a graphic out right away, push on against the Packers. Jalen Hurts lined up on a play, which that specific play they have a picture of, the Packers did stop them. The Eagles putting out a 26-minute video of every tush push they've ever run successfully. And the whole way that they swayed some of these other owners was they talked about it for like an hour. Jeffrey Lurie, this is an NFL owner, and forgive me. It's like a wet dream for a teenage boy to create a play that is so successful, the only way for it to be stopped is for it to be banned. Jeffrey Lurie's out here talking about nocturnal emissions, and you're clowning on the Green Bay Packers for being juvenile, for wanting it stopped? Get out of here. Jason Kelce talked to the owners passionately, but then wouldn't talk to the media. Bro, you're in the media now. You don't get to pick and choose. So the Eagles got their way, and LOL, it was a 22-10 vote. It needs to be 24. It needs to be 3/4. And wouldn't you know it, 22-10, the same score the Eagles beat the Packers by in the playoffs. Eagles voted no. Ravens voted no. Browns voted no. Lions voted no. Jaguars voted no. Dolphins voted no. Patriots voted no. Saints voted no. Jets voted no. Titans voted no. Of all those teams, by the way, only the Lions play the Eagles next year. So, is the tush push stupid? Yes. Do the Eagles get credit for finding a loophole round? Yes. Should it be a rule going forward to ban it? I believe so. Are the Eagles being juvenile and petty and dumb? Absolutely. Are the Packers abstain from any criticism? You bet they should be. Hey, I'm a Packer owner. I don't like how that meeting went down today. I lost. Our vote lost. Have to stand up for my team. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. There was also a change to the onside rule, which is even dumber. You can now declare anytime you want to take an onside kick if you're losing, but players on the kicking team will be able to line up with their front foot on the 35-yard line up 1 yard. That will do nothing. The whole excitement with onside kicks is when it's unpredictable and spontaneous. This does nothing. But that, yeah. 888-710-4476, 888-710-4ISN. Baseball did something that actually worked last weekend. Talk about that. Bulletin Blitz coming up and an update on this Knicks-Pacers game. Much more to get to. We're just getting started here on a very real AI free. You know, I might have to kill the Bartometer. It's leading. We do it on Thursdays, but if it's got any cause in this AI renaissance, yeah. We'll be back. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
Bart Winkler, the enemy of all AI.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, "Is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar?" I said, "Sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious." He said, "I think that might be it."
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. NFL owners voting on various things today. We did lose an owner today. I saw this 2 hours ago. Jim Irsay passed away at 65. The Colts chief operating officer Pete Ward, in a statement, released by the team, we're devastated to announce our beloved owner and CEO, Jim Irsay, passed away peacefully in his sleep this afternoon. His dedication and passion for the Colts, in addition to his generosity, commitment to the community, and most importantly, his love for his family, were unsurpassed. The Jim Irsay's had some incidents where you wonder, is Jim Irsay okay? But Jim Irsay, I think, has been a net positive, certainly on the Colts, and certainly I would say on football. Peyton Manning in a message, I'm heartbroken to hear about Jim Irsay's passing. He was an incredibly generous and passionate owner. I will always be indebted to him for giving me my start in the NFL. His love for the Colts and the city of Indy was unmatched. His impact on the players who played for him will not be forgotten. Jim, rest in peace, my friend. He had just tweeted this morning, good luck, Pacers. So Jim Irsay passing away. That's young. 65. I joked the other day that I'm turning 41. I mean, that's not a joke. I would, if you gave me 82 right now, if I could say I'm halfway home, I would take it. But gosh, if I knew I only had till 65, I would probably need to change a few things in my life. I also probably wouldn't, but I would need to. Jim Irsay passing away at the age of 65. The Indiana Pacers are trailing. The Knicks pulled away a little bit, went on a run in the fourth quarter. They're up 111 to 98. That game should be going final. There's 5 minutes left, so within the next 15, 20 minutes. And then in the NHL, it's a tie game in the third between Edmonton and Dallas. So things are getting started. The games last night, maybe not as exciting. The games tonight, delivering a little bit more here, especially on the ice with the series starting in Dallas. Then you've got Major League Baseball, which enjoyed last weekend. And Carlos Ortiz, you were on top of it. You said, hey, this rivalry weekend, it might be something. We should grab some interviews and talk some baseball. And I thought the whole time you hated rivalry weekend, but you meant it.
Don't know where you got that from. Still don't know.
The rivalry weekend was a little bit different. It wasn't just like the interleague matchups paired up against each other. There were a few matchups that were the matchups over the weekend, Twins Brewers, get a little border battle, Astros Rangers, Texas, American League teams, Braves Red Sox, we went through that one the other night, Pirates Phillies, both National League teams, but in Pennsylvania, Washington and Baltimore, essentially right on top of each other, same with Detroit and Toronto. Ohio saw the Reds and the Guardians. Florida got the Marlins and the Rays. Missouri got the Royals and the Cardinals. Chicago, the Cubs and the White Sox. California, now I have to say, got the Giants and the A's. L.A., Dodgers and Angels in a series that the Angels swept. Rockies and Diamondbacks, geographically close. Mets and Yankees, of course, and then the two left without a chair, the Mariners and the Padres, and then they created the Eddie Vedder Cup. So baseball tried something a little gimmicky, tried to do a little bit of a branding, and lo and behold, it seemed to have worked. Last weekend was the best weekend attendance in ballparks pre-Memorial Day in 13 years. Pre-Memorial Day attendance, April, May, March now, because I've been to some of these April games, especially in the day. It was a little chilly in Chicago today. Saw a picture. There's like no one at the White Sox day game. But this weekend brought people into the ballpark. I went to a game. You went to some games, didn't you? Did you go to a Mets game this weekend? No, you went to the NYCFC game.
Yeah, right? Which happened to be in Citi Field because the Mets were away.
Yeah, did they win that game?
NYCFC, yes, they did.
Yeah, and were you pumped?
Yeah. I'll be very honest. I was kind of checked out a little bit because I'm still trying to figure out soccer. But it was good vibes, and I had a couple of pops in me. So there's that.
There's a net. They just have to score in the net.
Yes. Lots of kicking. Lots of flopping, too. I even saw that. I was like, come on, get them up.
Yeah, but it's not any worse than basketball's got it just as bad now.
I don't. Well, yeah. Yeah. It's actually pretty bad in the NBA.
It's not just a soccer thing. All right. Best week in attendance in 13 years. Here's a fun stat. Social media views were up 42% over any given weekend. Yay. Right? Merchandise sales plus 45%. I got sucked into that, too. I bought a hat. A pretty fresh hat, if you ask me, Brewers. Second most watched day ever on MLB.TV. MLB on Fox viewership over the weekend was up 74%. And then the Yankees and the Mets played Sunday Night Baseball. It was the most watched ESPN Sunday Night Baseball game in 7 years. Going back to 2018. So they did something. They did it all at once. And it paid off. And I will give credit to Major League Baseball for doing that. Because if there's one thing I hammer baseball on more than anything, it's how they like fart out a schedule and then just leave it at that. They don't do, the NFL is trying to circumvent 50-year-old broadcast rules to try to find how to get the maximum amount of TV viewers that they can. And baseball just puts out a schedule and they say, yeah, that's probably good. Memorial Day's coming up. There's 12 games on Memorial Day. That seems healthy, right? That means there's six teams that are not playing. You have to have everybody play on Memorial Day. You have to. I mean, that should be the biggest, like, the schedule should be a non-starter if you're not. July 4th this year falls on a Friday, so by happenstance, I think, everybody's going to be playing on Memorial Day. Labor Day, I think there's a couple teams that are off. You got to figure it out. There was one year that the Cardinals had an opponent, I forget who it was, but another team had come to town, and they were scheduled to play on July 3rd and July 5th, or July 2nd and July 3rd and not the 4th. They had to go to the baseball, and they said, can you at least, like, we're both free that day. We'd rather play on the 4th. It makes way more sense. Baseball essentially said yes. I just wish they would do a better job on that. So I give them credit for doing something intentional with the schedule. And now it paid dividends for them with increased views and sales and ratings. So good. Good for them. Major League Baseball. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We've got a hockey game that is back and forth. We got a basketball game that I don't think you're in a safe zone yet. We'll hear about it all in this update. Here is Marco Belletti.
The biggest moments in the games.
Thrown behind, but somehow caught. And now lateral to Allen and reaching for the pylon. Are you kidding me? It's a touchdown. Unbelievable.
The biggest voices in sports.
I have to look in the mirror and right. I have to be a better owner.
The heartbreak.
This team has nothing to be ashamed of. As you mentioned, yeah, they're disappointed. But they have absolutely nothing to be ashamed of.
The celebrations.
It's over. The Philadelphia Eagles have won Super Bowl 59. They have beaten the Kansas City Chiefs 40-22. It's their second Super Bowl win in 7 years.
It's the audio of the day.
It's the Bulletin Blitz.
That's right. It is the Bulletin Blitz here on the Bart Winkler Show, only on the Infinity Sports Network. Coast to coast, wherever you can hear the sound of my voice, you're obviously listening to the right segment and the right show. It is Wednesday, May 21st, 2025, and we start off the Bulletin Blitz with the MVP being announced for the NBA.
The key MVP belongs to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander from Oklahoma City Thunder. Well done.
His first MVP award. He's finished fifth in the voting. He has finished second in the voting last year, and this year, he's the MVP.
You know, when you look at it, he's been trending this direction since he came into the league. We played him in the playoffs when he was with the Clippers in 19, and you knew he'd be special too. To reach this point, it's all the work that go in, and he does it.
The announcement came on TNT. The announcement actually spoiled hours earlier from Sham Sharania, which I do want to get into the necessity around that.
Me too.
A little bit later. And really, my continued takedown of what insiders are actually supposed to be doing here, because it's gotten out of control. And this worship culture that we have towards them, I think, is part of the problem. But for SGA, who was traded from the Clippers to the Thunder in that Paul George deal, which looks worse with every passing day, he was the MVP, averaging 32.7 points a game. The Thunder winning 68 games. They're up 1-0 in the Western Conference Finals. The number one seed, of course, beating out Nikola Jokic for the MVP. 71 first-place votes for Shai. 29 second-place votes. Flop that around, and Jokic has those numbers in the alternative order. No other first-place votes for anybody. No other second-place votes for anybody. Giannis had 88 third-place votes. Let me just remember how to speak here. That was a tough couple of segments.
Me fail English. Sentences. That's impossible.
I apologize. I think the problem is I'm tensed up now because of this game. Donovan Mitchell with a vote and Jason Tatum with 11 third place votes. If he makes that, what is happening? What is happening? Aaron Nesmith has just made 6 straight 3-point shots.
He really cannot miss.
It's a 2-point game. I'm not kidding. I am not kidding. 100% I am not kidding. If the Pacers win this game, I am going home. Okay? If the Pacers win this game, coming back like this, I will go home. I'll come back tomorrow if they let me. I'm not doing this show if the Pacers come back like this.
I will be happy to make my debut.
They are demons. This is... go on.
I don't know how I would make my debut with zero content planning whatsoever, but I'll do it. Let's stick with the MVP announcement. SGA, after receiving the award, said he used finishing second in last year's MVP voting as motivation.
To be honest with you, I use it as motivation. There's voters every year. That will never change. And last year, all it meant was that more people thought I shouldn't have won than should have won, and this year I wanted to change the narrative and have... It flipped, and I think I did a good job of that, and that's why I get the award.
There was a lot of SGA backlash last night after the Thunder won, saying that he's baiting the refs in the fouls, and he knows how to play to not get fouls. All of a sudden, the Thunder, which were this darling of a team, have become, like, hated in a way, and a lot of it was centered around the play of Gilgeous-Alexander last night. So we can dive more into that. More I want to talk about. He gets a big pay bump, or at least is eligible for one, come extension time. So plenty more to get into coming up here on the show.
Yeah, we'll preview a little bit of that conversation right now, because we'll switch to the Western Conference Finals with the Oklahoma City destroying the Minnesota Timberwolves 114-88 in Game 1. SGA, after the game, says this series is going to be a chess match.
Yeah, it's always a chess match out there. You go out there, you have a base coverage, you have something that you want to start with, and you see how the game goes.
and then you just read and react and adjust from there. They make a move, you make a move. Like it's back and forth, and it's going to be like that throughout the series. They're a really good team. They'll make adjustments. They'll get better for sure. We have to continue to get better as well.
Well, and I don't think the Timberwolves are too worried about it. They got to come back stronger in game two, but I think they think they're the kind of team that can come back stronger. The thing that they need to look at is they took 51 threes and only made 15 of them. Now, the Thunder were 11 for 21 from three. The Timberwolves took a lot of threes, and a lot of those open threes, so they just got to get those to knock down. Dante was 3 for 12. Alexander Walker was 2 of 9. Naz Reid was 0 of 7, which is not Naz Reid-like at all. So they'll come back. I don't know, again, that they need to win game two. It would help. It would certainly help. I don't think the series is over if they don't. But they can't lose by 20-some points again. Or, yeah, then it is probably curtains.
Yeah, probably. So here's Anthony Edwards on how to fix their offensive struggles.
I definitely got to shoot more. I only took 13 shots. But I'll say probably just get off the ball a little more. Play without the ball. I think that'll be the answer. Because playing on the ball, they're just going to double and sit in the gaps all day. So, got to go watch some film and pick it apart. We'll figure it out.
He had 18 points on those 13 shots. 5 points game from the stripe. Randall was good with 28. They need a little more from those other guys. Rudy Gobert did not do much at all statistically. Jaden McDaniels was kind of a non-factor. Mike Conley. Also, the bench has not been great in these playoffs. Dante DiVincenzo, Alexander Walker, Naz Reid, the three guys I mentioned before, that's a pretty healthy 6, 7, and 8 coming off the bench for you, but they've got to put up numbers. They've got to start to score a little bit, something that they were not able to do in this game. And really, Naz Reid hasn't had a double-digit game since game two against the Warriors. He's a guy that can come in and put 20 off the bench. Dante's had two games where he scored at least 10 this entire postseason. They need more from him. Alexander Walker, more single-digit games, some zeros on there than double digits. So they do need the bench if they're going to have a say in this series.
All right, let's switch gears to the NFL. Now, I had this, you know, put on the side. Obviously, I wasn't here yesterday, but I wanted to play it then. Now I got a chance to do it now. The NFL schedule dropped to much fanfare, all those teams putting out their social videos, some better than others, Giants and always missing the mark. But the Bengals, and more specifically Joe Burrow, has got a gripe with their schedule. He's not happy with playing in Baltimore in primetime for the fourth straight year, and he's also not happy that they're not getting any international games.
You know, playing in Baltimore for the fourth straight primetime year isn't ideal. Maybe we could get one of those in Cincinnati next year, please. Maybe an international game next year too. You know, I think, you know, part of the reason I wanted to do the quarterback show, I wanted to help grow the game internationally, and so to not have a stage like that is a little disappointing, because you know, I feel like I've consciously worked hard to try to grow the game internationally over the last 18 months or so. So hopefully at some point in my career we can go over there.
Yeah, I don't think that really sounds too much like the headline was Joe Burrow complaining about the schedule. I mean, he's got some things that he would like to see different with it. Maybe you keep the Baltimore thing quiet because it could provide some bulletin board fodder, perhaps. Other than that, he wants to play a game internationally. I don't see a problem with that.
Yeah, I think I would take more exception to, you know, being in Baltimore for the fourth straight year in a primetime game. That's four straight years. That's pretty lopsided. Like, obviously, they're divisional rivals, and you do want to showcase as many AFC North matchups in primetime because, you know, that and the NFC East, those games are usually entertaining / bloodbaths. So I'm all in for that. But let's balance it out because it can't be in Baltimore for four straight years and Cincinnati not get the opportunity to respond in kind. You want to expect the Ohio residents to show out. So that's not fair. I'm with Joe Burrow. I hope. Show the Bengals some love. Let's go to your coach, Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. He expects Aaron Rodgers to be a Steeler as he spoke to Kay Adams on the Up and Adams show.
He asked you about Aaron? No, not one, not nothing. And neither has Arthur. So Arthur Smith, their OC, I haven't heard from either of those guys in regards to him. I'm pretty sure they know what they're doing. I'm sure they're confident in what they're doing, and I would fully expect him to be a Pittsburgh Steeler.
Well, the NFL expects it too. They're putting that game where Green Bay travels to Pittsburgh in prime time on Sunday Night Football. And it's something that we've been saying here for the longest time is that, yeah, Aaron Rodgers probably will be a Steeler, but he doesn't want to do this stuff in May. He doesn't want to do this stuff in June. He'll come when he's ready, and they'll go on from there. I still don't think they're going to be any better, really, or worse, but I agree with that. All right, let's pause this. We got to watch the end of this game. Oh my God.
Yeah, this is a crazy game.
Oh my God. Was that a two? Was that a two?
If it's a two, it's over.
No, if it's a two, it's tied. Tyrese Halliburton, foot is on the line. He takes the shot. That's a two.
That's a two.
Because it bounces off the back of the rim in, and he immediately points at the Knicks doing the choking motion.
Reggie Miller calling the game.
This is unbelievable. How? So we're going to overtime at 125. How can anyone on earth like this team? Anyone. Now, the game's not over, so I'm not leaving yet. Is there like an interview we can replay or something? I don't want to be on the air during the end of this game.
I'll find something.
I like sports. This is real passion and real hate. I'm very upset. I don't even care. I don't care. I'm not professionally throwing at the break either.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.